But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is going to be part two of Spiritual Warfare, Next Step, The Armor of God. I'm hoping that I'll be able to get through everything with this class. If not, there might be a third one to show you how to put it on. So let me quickly pray and get going into the lesson here. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word that you have given us, your word, where we can hear it, we can feast on it, we can understand it by your Spirit, Lord, and we can use it, appropriate it in our lives. I pray that right now, your Holy Spirit would really descend upon us, be around us, be within us, to open our ears, our spiritual ears, eyes, our senses, Lord, all five spiritual senses, would be able to glean what you have for us in this teaching today, Lord, and that we will really use it as you had intended from the very beginning. I thank you. I pray that you fill me, Lord, with your knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as we go forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we started on the armor of God last week. I'm going to quickly read through the scripture again. This is Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, and I'm going to read through to 18. It says, this is the NLT version of the Bible that I'm reading. When I did this study, I did it with the Berean Study Bible, so I'll bounce back to that shortly. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So that's the full scripture. And in last week, we actually stopped at, the readiness of the gospel of peace. So we actually went into the footwear last week. So I am actually going to pick up now at verse 16 and finish out the rest of the pieces of the armor. And as you know, I've been really doing a lot of root word study in Greek for these to help with the understanding of each piece and what they mean. So verse 16 says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So it's the shield of faith. And I had already shown you in a previous photograph, which I'll put it back up here again for you to see, that the actual shield was square. It's an oblong picture, and it's large, or should be large enough to cover the full body. And we will see now from the Greek interpretation of this, the word shield is thurios, and it says the heavy oblong Roman shield. It says a gate or door or door shaped use of the large oblong ancient Roman shield, which looked like a full door, large enough to provide full protection from attack. Full body shield refers to God's inworking of faith, the shield of faith, which protects the whole believer, covering their entire person in spiritual warfare. So, again, you know, any photographs you see of the Roman soldier for the armor of God where the shield is round, it's not round. It's square, it's oblong. It was supposed to be large enough to, like I said, protect the entire body. And it's shaped like a door. So it says the shield of faith. And the word faith is pistis. It says faith, belief, trust, confidence, fidelity, faithfulness. Persuaded or to be persuaded. This be persuaded, come to trust. And the faith is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. In short, faith for the believer is God's divine persuasion and therefore distinct from human belief or confidence, yet involving it. The Lord continuously births faith in the yielded believer so that they can know that he refers, so that they can know what he prefers, the persuasion of his will. So this is saying that this is not just any normal human faith. It's actually a divine persuasion. And the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in order to be builded up in this faith that's coming from God, we have to be reading the Bible, because the shield is actually made out of faith. Isn't that interesting? And it says that faith, the shield of faith, is to quench the fiery darts. It says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Do you remember, I had said this before, and I'll show you the photograph again, that the shield back then was actually a wooden shield. So basically the enemy would dip the arrow in pitch and light it so that when they shot it and it hit the shield, if it hit the shield, it would attach itself to the shield and burn the shield so that the soldier would have to discard the shield, therefore making him unprotected. Okay, this is the idea. But the scripture is saying that we should take up the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So that's why it's important for you to know that this was wooden. The reason why the Apostle Paul said, extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy, is that when those, really what it comes as is doubts, accusation, and all the things come at you, it is your faith in God's word and what God has said that is actually going to extinguish and put out those flaming darts or arrows, okay? So, you know, when the enemy comes and says whatever to you, you're sick and you're believing God for your healing, and all you're hearing from doctors and nurses or people around you is you're gonna die, you're terminally ill, your shield of faith then becomes, God said, by his stripes I am healed. Okay, I am healed. That is your faith. And that is coming from the word of God. So in believing that, you would put that up as your shield to stop those things from coming near you. Okay, it's a weapon. Okay, the Bible says, beloved, I pray that you will prosper in your health just as you prosper in your soul. So the word of God has many scriptures related to healing And that is the faith that we will use. We're also going to have the faith from our relationship with the Lord. If God has said, listen, these are the plans that I have for you, plan to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future, then you have no reason to sit there and believe all the things that people are saying or will say to you. So your shield of faith is made, if you think about it, out of water. It's the water of the word. The scripture is referred to as water in many places in the Bible. So just imagine that when that flame comes, all it's doing is hitting into water and it's like, psh, extinguish, psh, extinguish. It can't get through because you're not actually holding a wooden shield anymore. No, you're holding one that's made out of the word of God, which is water. And so when it hits, it's out. It cannot penetrate you. You don't have to accept or believe anything that the enemy is trying to say to you. So that's the idea. And it's supposed to cover your entire being, your entire body, because it's that large. And doesn't the word just cover every aspect of our life? It certainly does. You can find a scripture for anything in the Bible. And so this is basically what the shield is used for. So let's go to the other one. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Okay, so helmet. What is the word helmet in the Greek? Helmet. Okay, so it's just the helmet, right? So, but I want to show you some pictures of the helmet. Okay, so we understand now. We've done in one of our past classes and we talked about the gateways, right? Our spiritual gateways. And you have gateways that are your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth. These are the areas in which you use to take in information. So that helmet is protecting your gateways from what's coming at you, okay? So take a look at this picture. These photos that I'm showing you here now are photos of the different helmets that existed during this time, which, as I said, this was written in 60 to 62 AD. So, you know, you have different, you notice that most of them have the side panels on the side that's protecting the ears, right? Some of them have a piece that's literally going over the nose and pretty much covering the face. Now I found this one here, which I thought was quite interesting, this image. And it's got basically the progression of the different elements through the different time periods, okay? So we'll see that, it changes. It's not staying the same. And even, you know, we know that as time went on, helmets basically just had a little slit for the eye and, you know, little holes where people could breathe. Everything was covered. The head was completely covered. And if you take a look, you know, at the pictures of the soldiers here and you see them together, you can't really tell who's who. If you took any of these people and you put them in a lineup and you say to someone, well, who is this? Can you identify this person? They'd say, no, I can't identify them. I can hardly make them out. Because the helmet is also protecting the identity of the person. Think about it. You're covered. Okay? I mean, right now, your helmet, the one that you're getting in the spiritual realm to battle, isn't going to look like this. All right? Because we're now in a new age, so I guess you could come up with what you think your helmet should look like, okay? It could be whatever you want it to be, all right? It's protecting how you look and what's coming in. So that when you are shielded, you have this helmet on, you are covered. Your gates are covered. Your identity is covered in the realm of the spirit. The enemy can't even identify who you are. If he met you on a battleground and he doesn't know you, how is he going to know you? Because that helmet is there. That's protecting your identity, right? I mean, You could be Marshmallow, Daft Punk. You could be anybody you want to be with that helmet on. You know, so just imagine for a minute here what your helmet would look like right now, like today. You know, have some fun with it. What does your armor look like? Because now we're in a different age. I have to show you these pictures because this is what the battle gear looked like back then when Paul was writing this. But today, you know, we could get fancy. As long as it's covering and protecting, this could be whatever you want it to be. Neon, you know, lights and everything, but just covered, all right? And so it says it's the helmet of salvation, okay? So it's soterios, which is bringing salvation. It's salvation of God. That's saying I'm saved by Jesus Christ. Through the blood of Jesus, I am saved. And because of this salvation, I'm covered. All of my gateways, my eyes, my ears, my nose, my mouth is covered under the blood of Jesus. By this helmet of salvation, my identity is secure in Christ. Okay? So this is some very powerful tools here. Okay, so going further, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Now this one I thought was really interesting because the word for sword is Machaira. It's actually a slaughter knife, a short sword or dagger mainly used for stabbing, an instrument for exacting retribution. So, you know, we're always thinking that the sword is somehow this very long weapon. It's not. It's actually a short dagger. So I would say this photo here, showing, you see how short that is more likely what it looked like back then. And again, I think evolution of weapons, it's going to look very differently today. But that's basically what it was, a short dagger for exacting retribution. So it says the sword of the Spirit. So what spirit? Spirit is pneuma, which means the wind or the breath of God. It is the Spirit of God, the word of God, the wind or the breath of God. So imagine it like this. You will notice we have a pattern going on here, and the pattern is the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. This is why I'm always going to tell you, you need to read your Bible, because it is in reading the Bible that you every day more and more become more equipped to fight. So it is important for you to know that this sword of the Spirit in the entire armor is your only offensive weapon. Every other weapon that you have is defensive. It's on you. It is meant to protect you from incoming attacks. The sword of the Spirit, on the other hand, protects you by going out. It's offensive. So why it's the wind or the breath of the Spirit? It's the breath. It's the spoken word of God, okay? The pneuma, that spirit of going out, okay? You have the word of God going out of your mouth. It says when Jesus is coming back, he's coming back with with two swords coming out of his mouth. That's his word that he's sending forth. And the Bible is very clear about what happens when the word of God is released. So it says in Isaiah 55 verse 10 through 11, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there,
but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which it was sent. Simply put, it's like this. When the rain falls, whether you see it or you know it, it's doing something, okay? How many times have you been inside of a building or even slept overnight and you wake up the following morning or you go outside and the ground is wet and you're like, wow, I didn't even know it rained. Well, it did. So on the ground, you're gonna see water. You're gonna see puddles. You're gonna notice that the trees are greener, the grass is greener, flowers are blooming. The springs and the rivers and the lakes have water flowing down. Because that water, when it comes from heaven, the rain from heaven, it does something. Whether you see it or you're knowing it, it's doing something. And so God is saying, this is the same thing that happens with my word. When it comes out of your mouth and it goes into the atmosphere, it's doing something. It's not gonna come back to me void. Meaning, when the rain falls, we can't very well push it back up and say, okay, I wanna return this and not have it do what it's supposed to. No. The word of God, when it goes out, whether you see it, feel it, or know it, it's accomplishing something. Something is happening in the atmosphere. That is the power of the word of God. It is very powerful. And so God is saying that his word is a weapon when used and spoken in the way in which he, when it goes out, it's gonna do what it says it's gonna do. By his stripes, I am healed. Whether I feel healed or not, I just spoke that word. So when I speak that word, the spiritual atmosphere around me, even though I can't see it, changes. A change is happening. It's not gonna get returned void. Something just happened when I said that. I am the head and I am not the tail. I am above, I'm not beneath. I am the lender and I am not the borrower. Okay, I am a child of God. I am a daughter of the King. I am. God's plans for me are good plans. I would have lost hope if I didn't believe that I would see God's goodness right now in the land of the living. And so when I say that, I am basically manifesting fruit in the realm of the Spirit by using God's word, by saying what God says. So what he's saying is, use the sword of the Spirit, which is his word, when you're in warfare. Use the sword of the Spirit to accomplish what God wants to accomplish when it goes out of your mouth. This is very powerful. And so, I'm going to go through some exercises and show you how to put on the armor and how to use the sword of the Spirit. Okay, you'll notice that this is like the final piece, and there is a reason for that. And when I put on the armor, I'll show you how it works with being the final piece. Okay, but what I want you to know is all the other pieces of the armor, these defense pieces, they're there once you pray it on. The sword of the Spirit is you having to say something now. You're saying something, you're sending it out for it to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. So you may be saying, I'm new to Christianity. I don't know the verses. I don't know where to find them. Well, let me say this. You know exactly what you're up against. What's coming at you? Is it fear? Is it a health issue? Are you having financial trouble?
Is it in your marriage? Are your children the problem? Whatever that may be, what you need to do is go and find all the scriptures that are related to that issue and speak that. That's basically what you're doing. And it's easy. It's a Google search. Bible verses about healing. You read them through, you find the ones that speak to you the most, and you try to remember those. And those are the ones that you use when you're praying this on. Bible verses about raising children. Bible verses about a restoration of marriage. Bible verses about financial increase. Bible verses about fear. Whatever it is, Bible verse about lack of faith. Wherever you see that you're struggling, you have to take it upon yourself to find every scripture related to your issue, memorize them, know them, use them. And until you memorize them, just have them in your Bible somewhere where you have them all marked down. You know, the Bible Gateway app, you can save, there's a little star where you can actually favorite the verses that you want. Save them in a folder. So this way now you have them ready. So if you have to put on the armor, you already have your scriptures ready to go. And if you don't, look them up. And then I'm gonna show you how that all works. So that is it. So then verse 18 says, pray in the spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. Okay, so I believe that is it. That is it. Okay, and so I wanted to say, you know, it says pray in the spirit at all times. Okay, that's using your word of God. It says every kind of prayer and petition. This is your conversations with God. This is your supplications, what you're asking, what you're needing, what you're requiring of God. And it says at all times. And this word times here is actually kairos, which means at every opportune moment, at every moment where you realize I need to do this. So we have to have this sense of awareness. You know, kairos is the fitting season, the opportunity, the occasion, the time. It referring to things coming to a head and to take full advantage of, suitable time, the right moment, a favorable moment. You know when you're under attack, you know. So this is saying when you recognize, okay, this is a battle, now I'm going to need to put on my armor. And you need to do it. If you're in a situation you're feeling very unsafe, put on your armor. Now I know, I went through this whole explanation for you because I wanted you to see each piece, how important each piece was, okay? And how this works, how it works, each piece fitting together, okay? So your head is covered, your chest and your heart is covered, your waist is covered, or your loin, your reproductive, your creative ability, your feet are covered, you have a shield, and you have a sword, okay? And these are your pieces. So what happens is, again, even though you cannot see this armor, it's for the enemy to see. It's weaponry against spiritual forces in heavenly places. So while you, again, are like, oh, I can't see them, it doesn't matter. They can see you, and they actually know if you're wearing it or not. You know, and I've said this to people before that are in like battle in workplace scenarios where they go to office, they're at the office and they're like, I think someone is trying to get me fired, or they're after me every day. And I'm always in conference room and board meetings trying to defend myself here. And it's really difficult and I don't know what to do. And I ask them, are you putting on the armor of God before you go into your office? And they think, no, well, you need to. And then I tell them, and do not be surprised if when you walk in there, they're not picking on you that day.
They will not come near you or bother you that day. Why is that? Because again, the war is not against flesh and blood. It's not you and that person. It is you as a child of God being opposed by a spiritual force that's demonic. And when they come to attack you and they're looking at this person that has a full armor on in the realm of the spirit, they're backing up because they recognize immediately, okay, he's prepared today. Okay, she is prepared today. Okay, I see in the spirit, but I can't even really make out what's going on here because your helmet is on, okay? They won't come after you, I promise you. And I know it sounds like, you know, sometimes for people from one day to the next, and they go in and I say, try it and come back and tell me what happens. And then they'll come back and I say, what happened today? And they're like, nothing. We had the conference call and they didn't attack me. Don't you think that's odd when they've been attacking you every day? No, that's because they see it in the realm of the spirit. Your armor can be seen. Therefore, you must always know that by putting it on, it's there. When the word of God goes out, it's not going to return void. So by putting the armor on and speaking the word of God, it's in place. And the enemy can see it. And he's just going to pass you by and go to somebody else that's not prepared as you are. Okay? So how do you put it on? It's prayer. It's a simple, 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 simple prayer. You just pray it exactly as it is in the word. Okay? And all you're going to do at the end, when you get to the sword, is quote some scriptures. Because that's you being offensive and sending out the word.
Okay, my apologies. I've just realized that video is going to go way too long if I include the prayers along with this one here. And I don't want to rush through it. So what I'm going to do is a part three that will have the outline for the prayer. Because with the prayer, you can actually pray the armor on with scriptures at the end for the sword, as well as you can pray it without the scriptures, just straight. And I want to demonstrate both of those for you, but this video will be way too long. So what I'm going to do now is just close us out in prayer. And then next week I'll pick up with the actual prayers for you so you can hear how to put it on. Father, we just thank you that you are a gracious, loving, kind God, and that you have not left us to fight these battles on our own, but you have given us an armor. It is your armor. We thank you for giving us the instructions of what each piece means, their significance, and how we're protected when we use it. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be confident that it will be adequate for any battles that we may face now and in the future. We ask, Lord, that this information that we've received today, that you will just put it in our spirit as a seed and let it grow into a beautiful oak of righteousness. Enlighten our understanding so that we may truly know what it means and how you see it and how it works in the realm of the spirit. We thank you for this time. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so remember to check the links in the description box for to get to our website to find the study guide and other information. And then next week, I'll just go ahead and continue with the prayers. Okay, bye.